Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We're a couple of best friends and credentialed Clipper media people. We're bringing you Locked On Clippers 5 days a week.
Hell yeah.
Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific.
On the dot. It's available all day.
All day.
But comes out at 7 a.m. if you want to be eager.
Anyways, we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. It's my favorite day of the week, Twitter Tuesday.
Woo!
Thank you to everyone who sent those questions in ahead of time. If you'd ever like a chance to get your question featured on this show, go ahead and send those over to @LockedOnClips. We usually ask for questions on Monday, but hey, we're happy to hear from you
at any time.
And then in segment two, we're going to be talking a little bit about the trade market right now.
It's weird.
It's weird. It's an interesting time. There's certainly some uncertainty and a couple of at least one key target for the Clippers. Their situation has kind of changed.
For sure.
So we'll be taking a look at that. And then in shavings, we're going to talk a little bit about the possibility of an NBA postponement of the season. There's some kind of questionable policies around who has to get tested and who doesn't have to get tested near players.
There's a guest policy that was made aware of a lot of people recently.
Yeah.
Oof, there's a lot.
Yeah, so we got a lot of stuff to unpack there. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yeah, so welcome to Twitter Tuesday again. Thank y'all so much who submitted. You can send us questions at Locked On Clips. We're going to get right into it. This is from Twitter user at Cake and Pie. Sounds like they got a pretty good thing going over there. They ask, what do you think scrapping the Luke Lou Reggie fail will do for Luke's game? Will it free him up or will he defer more to Lou, PG, and Mook? What do you think will unlock him? His shooting percentages aren't too bad. It's just how much he actually shoots. So, just real quick, in terms of the shooting percentages, his three-point shooting percentage is elite right now. He's shooting 45% on three a game.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's not actually, it's how much he shoots, but I mean, the shot is there. Yeah, I think this is overall good for Luke Kennard's game.
Yeah, I think so too. You just have another off-ball threat. So, without Reggie on the floor, I would see him taking a couple more shots. One thing that I have liked is they have been making an effort running sets to get him actual good looks. It's not like he's like running in transition into a three or something like that.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I actually probably wouldn't mind him firing off one of those a game.
Oh
or
yeah,
something.
He
but,
can make them.
Yeah, I don't know how much higher the attempts would be. If he got around to that five a game number, I think that is reasonable.
I think I'm fine with, like, five seems great.
Yeah.
Anything more than that, you're kind of like, huh, seven threes from Luke Kennard attempted this game, right?
Yeah, surprisingly enough to me, I feel like we haven't gotten to see as much of the playmaking as I had.
Good kind call.
Which is honestly what I was most excited about when we kind of made this trade.
And that was the three-guard lineup that ruined. I mean, that just kills Luke and Lou. Like, those guys can't play in three-guard lineups.
Yeah, 100%.
At least when Reggie's the third guard.
Yeah, they just can't defend. And then, you know, Reggie has, obviously next to Lou, the longest tenure with the team still. You know, one.
That's insane.
Not even a full season. So I think that, you know, he did have the ball in his hands more than Luke. So hopefully we can see a little bit of change and maybe get to see a little bit on that front too, especially with PG playing those minutes with the second unit.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want him to be too high of a usage as the point guard. Like he should be able to maybe take a step back from having to run the ball up as much when he's with the second unit.
Yeah, especially because they want PG to be doing that more. So I think the unlocking thing, I think it is playing with PG. And I'm not mad if he's deferring to Paul George specifically too much. Like, there's worse people to defer to. But for, like, if he's, like, trying to, like, force feed Morris or something, like, then I'm kind of like, what are you doing? But I don't think Kennard's going to make those decisions.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Excited to see how he looks. I think he's on the upswing. Danny H. wants to know, what's more important for Clippers fans this year, making it to the Western Conference Finals or re-signing Kawhi in the offseason?
Oh, wow.
This one hurts.
Difficult. This one really hurts.
I think it's making the Western Conference Finals, because that is probably, that's kind of where my brain is for the biggest benchmark for helping to re-sign Kawhi,
yeah,
would be making it to
a conference final.
Yeah,
definitely. Well, I guess I'm gonna say re-signing Kawhi.
Also, a good option.
that gets a lot harder to make a pitch if you don't make a conference final. I think that, especially given the somewhat limited number of assets that we have, like.
Oh, yeah, which we're going to get into next segment. There's not a whole lot.
Trying to retool anything as like a means of getting Kawhi to stay if we don't make a conference final, I don't know, man. I think it's very, very difficult.
It probably looks like, because what a lot of people have said is to Kawhi, the Clippers are saying, this is who you're also getting next year.
Yeah.
For the most part. For the major players, except for Serge, but if, you know, the best thing happens, I wouldn't see Serge leaving Kawhi. Right? Like, say we go to a Western Conference Finals, say things go great, say we make the finals, say things go great there. I don't think Serge would just be like, like, I don't want to be with Kawhi anymore. But we're basically pitching Kawhi, this is the squad that we have and who we're going to have. So I think that's where making the Western Conference Finals comes into play. Because, like, you've been here with these guys before. Maybe there's some movable stuff next season, not this season.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and who knows? There are still some murmurings that the Clippers have a card up their sleeve and do plan to make kind of a shakeup move at the midseason mark this year. So I guess we'll just have to see how that all pans out. But I mean, one of these things does beget the other, kind of.
Yeah, for sure.
But if all things being equal, and I have to choose one or the other, I'm choosing Kawhi for the long term.
For sure. Thankfully, we already got Paul George locked up. At Clipper Spencer asks, are the bench struggles an expected product of purposely sacrificing depth for a better playoff eight-man rotation, or do we need to be concerned?
This is an astute observation, Clipper Spencer. we did sacrifice some depth.
A bunch of depth.
For better top-end talent and some consistency. So, it is expected given what we were able to get. And there have been some unexpected things from that. You know, Batum has been able to shine in his role better, even than I would have thought.
I think even then, maybe even Nicholas Batum.
Yeah. So that, you know, more than covers up for the loss of Jamichael. Zoo, I have confidence they're going to figure out his role. They still need to get some work done on that. But at the same time, I am concerned about what's going on with this bench. I brought it up on the other day's episode, but as of that loss to the Warriors, we had the second worst net rating in the league, one of the worst plus minuses, average field goal percentage and 3-point percentage, bottom 10 in turnover percentage. Like,
a lot of bad.
Not even a lot of bad. It's all bad. It's as bad as it could be.
And the Bulls game,
you literally can't be much worse.
And the Bulls game only brought those numbers up like a little bit, right?
Because
it was a 3-point game, so
definitely.
The plus minus obviously isn't crazy there either. I don't think we need to be concerned. If we had a worse record, which I know is maybe a stupid thing to say because it's obvious, like I'd be like, oh, this does kind of suck. But I don't think we do, because we've seen, that's the thing, we have a coach who's tinkering. We're still trying to get out of this mindset that we're not going to see a bunch of changes, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's already like something that's sort of assaging my fears is that we have already taken a step in the direction of, we know that the three-guard lineup thing isn't going to work.
Yes.
So hopefully we're not going to be seeing that, unless, you know, obviously necessity is a different thing.
Yeah.
For down players or whatnot. But I'm worried. I don't think it means that you need to be worried. But I certainly will be monitoring.
It's a keep it in your back pocket.
I'll certainly be monitoring the situation as the season continues.
Yeah, and we'll see it most likely rear its ugly head against teams that we maybe should beat. Stu Quinn with a great question. The team has been a little overly reliant on jump shots. Do you think that the team could be helped by starting Zoo over Serge and having Serge fill the Trez role on the bench? It's like we need less spacing for the starters.
So I was real hot on the idea of maybe working Zoo back in with the starters.
Definitely looks better with the starters, because when you play with Kawhi, PG, and Bev, you do. Well, like last season compared to this season, he looked better last season.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. So I don't think that we need less space. I think that when you have like some of the best drivers on the team in George and Kawhi. I think giving them more space to operate is always going to be good.
And especially Kawhi's mid-range game, like, he needs the space.
Yeah, yeah.
That space is for Kawhi.
Yeah, so I think I think that Ty Lue hit the nail on the head with that one. Like, that gives them the best way to be able to get to the spots where they're comfortable.
Yeah.
And sort of work in that range. But it is an interesting point that you bring up about the jump shots, because, you know, we're a bottom team now in free throw attempts, which was, we were previously last season, the second highest in the
NBA.
And
the year before, I think, too.
Yeah. And, you know, some of that is definitely Trez. That's at least five a game.
Yeah.
Out the window.
Some Lou Will usage is way different this season than last year.
Yeah, totally. But that's like the biggest concern to me of the jump shot thing. I mean, most of the guys have thus far been pretty efficient. But yeah, taking away those trips to the line, I think, you know, those are just easy, consistent points.
Yeah.
That when you can't rely on them. And I guess the other thing too, like moving Serge to the bench, to me, the fall off defensively is just so large.
He'd have to be working hard. Like, we think about how hard Zoo has to work, and I'm thinking about Serge down there. And yes, it would shore up the defensive floor of the bench, but we don't need our regular season bench to be a stalwart defensively. They just need to literally be average.
I don't think Serge improves the defensive floor of the team over Zoo.
For the starters or for the bench?
Yeah.
You think Zoo's better for the bench's defense?
Yes.
I mean, sure. But that plays at the same point, right? Like, we don't need Serge to be trying really hard on defense.
Yeah.
Like, that's not.
Well, I just think that, and I mean, you and I have discussed this a little bit. Like, we have not been hyped on Zoo's rebounding numbers.
Yeah.
He hasn't looked great.
Or shot
the big
numbers.
Thing is, yeah. And he's trying to cover up for a lot of things, and he's having difficulty with that. I think putting that kind of burden on Serge at this point in his career is a little bit asking for trouble.
Yeah, now that we've seen what it looks like, it's like, oh yeah, this does make sense to have, you know, Zoo out there. We'll definitely probably see some staggering where we get to see Serge with more of a bench unit during some times.
And we did in that first or second Warriors game when Zoo got into the foul trouble.
Yeah. Which is probably going to happen again.
Yeah.
So
he got a lot more burn kind of with that unit. And it looked good, but I think where they're at right now in terms of starting and coming off the bench is a good position.
And the offensive barrage in terms of spacing that you can see early in the game with Serge with the starters is like,
how many times has Serge scored the opening points for that?
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. It's like a nice front foot to be on. And it's also great, too. Seems like Serge is doing a good job at trying to help Zoo out, like, vet-wise, which is good. Again, thank you for your questions. We do this every Tuesday episode at Locked On Clips. You can send them also to at Charles Mockler or at Will Updike. Coming up, we're going to be talking, trade talks have kind of cooled down. It's a weird situation right now for the Clippers. But first, we got to give a shout out to betonline.ag. Hope you're ready for some weekend football. Ravens Bills is going to be a barn burner.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a little scared of that one betting wise. But if I were to bet, I'd only go to one place, and that is betonline.ag. You can sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON, all cap letters, one word, for your 50% off welcome bonus. I wonder if they're going to let people bet on if games will be postponed. That seems like a shady thing, but it is gambling, so you never know.
That's true.
Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your bet online sportsbook experts.
Okay, so we're back with segment two, and we're kind of just taking the temperature of some possible trade ideas.
Yeah.
As we said leading into this segment, it does seem as though things have cooled down a little bit around those conversations, which makes sense. I mean, this is usually people are trying to get
like an edge early in the season. Like, there's a bunch of like.
I think you're also just trying to get a litmus test of what you got.
Oh,
before,
good call.
Like, before
Definitely.
You start making calls to other teams about moving pieces.
Yeah. Wait, you mean don't do knee-jerk reaction trades?
No, do not. So I guess where are we at on this idea of a Lou Will trade? Obviously, the most common recurring name in sort of the rumor mill of trades.
Yeah. Man, well, so there's games like Sunday's game where you're like, no, I don't think we could ever trade Lou Will.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and then there's games, basically most of the games before that, where you're like, he's not helping offensively, which means he's not doing a whole lot as a whole. The defense has been a lot better for sure. But you obviously, like Ty Lue kind of talked about, you want Lou Williams to be focused and maybe a little more on his scoring. So like, but because of that kind of like middle ground that I feel, like I don't think we can.
I think that it just depends on what the upgrade it is. So if, I mean, if we're being realistic, if you're looking at a one-for-one trade, that, I mean, we'd still probably have to give up some pick assets.
I mean, we got the four. We got to assume at least two of the Detroit seconds are gone.
Yeah, we got the,
in a one-for-one.
We got some of those in pocket, but I think the most likely sort of candidate is George Hill.
Yeah, people really want George Hill.
I think that, look, I think that it's an interesting move. I don't really know how market of an upgrade it is over Lou Williams, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, well, also right now George Hill is playing so well that I don't even think we could get him for a fair price.
What do you consider to be so good that we could not get
for
him?
George Hill from the, because it's Presti, right? Like, we're not dealing with a bad GM.
Yeah.
You're dealing with a good GM. He's averaging 12, 2, and 3, which is not, like, obviously elite, but he's shooting 39% from 3 on almost 5 threes a game. Like, he's a better defender than Lou Will. The Thunder would know what the hell they were doing in this scenario. They're not just going to give us George Hill. So, and, like, other than that, people wanted Spencer Dinwiddie, but
he's
that's
injured.
Not going to happen.
Yeah.
Which, unfortunately.
And I think you got to involve Pat for a Dinwiddie trade. I don't think anybody... I don't think Lou Will is enough to grease the wheels on that.
Which is that's where you get into the roster numbers game as a whole too. Like doing a 2-for-1 terrifies me. We don't even roster a full 15 now because of contract stuff.
Yeah, we're already like so thin that it does freak me out. Oh, so one thing that could grease the wheels for OKC, it's the last year of the Lou Will contract. It's less money. George Hill is on the books for another season after this one at $10 million a year.
Maybe that's also another reason why I'm like,
so I could see two seconds plus a Lou Will being able to facilitate that trade. But as I said, same thing still stands. I don't know. I truly don't know how much of a market improvement that is. Defensive floor, better. Offensively, he has been shooting really well from three.
Yeah.
Is also old.
Yeah, very good point. And you think about playoff stuff too. Like, so if we're just looking at the top eight for the Clippers, it's the starters, and then Mook, Zoo, and then who's that eighth spot right now? Is it? It's Lou, probably, right?
It's got to be Lou, and I would put him over Zoo.
Oh, yeah, I was just making, like, as a whole thing.
Gotcha, in general.
But so Kennard's out of that top eight, obviously. And George Hill, you're like, George Hill's still the same spot if you're going to order it for the top eight for the Clippers. He's still that same spot in terms of what the team would need in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
And losing two guys for it just seems like a lot. And so that's the other thing is we have to think about the Clippers' overall realistic trade assets.
Yes.
Reggie and Pat have no trade clauses.
Yep.
Due to contract type. We didn't just give it to them. It's just how the contracts work. So it's Lou Will. Is Pat Bev on the table in any way for you? That was a weird thing that I think people were like really comfortable with preseason was talking about just dealing away Pat Bev without seeing really any of the impact that he normally brings.
Look, for me, I'm saying no, but I just don't see an enticing enough of a move out there to really make that happen.
No way.
That's
a 1-for-1. That's another point guard for Pat Bev.
or even if you have to package Lou Will and Pat Bev in something like.
And that's a hefty amount of money.
That's kind of, I mean, that's a lot. Yeah, so I don't know. Pat Bev, his impact is clearly felt. I think that even with Paul George's turnover struggles, we have been mitigating the quote-unquote true point guard thing. You know, the assists are fine. I guess it's tradable. Like, we'll give him up. I don't know what you're getting for him, but sure.
And then, like, that's the list, unless you want to put Fee on there. We're not trading Luke Kennard. We're not trading any of the starters. We're not trading Mook.
Are we not? Are we confirmed not trading Luke Kennard?
I'm pretty sure we're not trading Luke Kennard. We gave him way too big a contract right now. It'd be brutal if we traded Luke Kennard.
I mean, I would be bummed for like the young core of the team, but I mean, I still see that as being a pretty tradable asset.
Yeah. I don't know who, again, though, who do we get? Like, that's what's so weird. So, all right, so let's say Luke Kennard is on the tradable asset. Mm-hmm. Not tradable, all the starters, Marcus Morris, Zoo?
Zoo, I think, is a tradable asset.
Zoo's a tradable asset. Is he our most tradable asset? Contract value is very much there. If you want him to start on your team, he's shown that he can start pretty decently.
So it just depends. Like, value-wise, yeah, it's a great value. But, I mean, in terms of actual, like, matching salary for an actual contract, like, I would see Luke Kennard's as kind of going a little bit further.
That's a good call.
Personally.
Yeah. Unless it's a giant trade that's, like, earth-shattering, which I'm not necessarily ready for. I don't think the Clippers have any reason to make a trade right now for a point guard, which is what everyone talks about the team supposedly needing.
Look, this is one of those things, too, that if you're talking about moving Pat as well, I mean, that's a very vocal part of the identity of what this team is trying to get to.
Yeah.
and look, you know, it's been wild. We keep making big mid-season moves every single year since the Blake Griffin trade.
Yeah.
And it's exciting, but I do think that there is value in just trying to optimize the pieces that you have.
And showing Kawhi, like, this is who we're happy with.
Yeah.
Like, constantly making trades isn't necessarily the most probably confidence-inducing thing. Like, it's like when you're at a job and there's a bunch of turnover and you're like, huh, okay.
I mean, like, those LeBron Cavs teams had massive turnover every single season at the mid-season
deadline. Oh, that's a good
call. So I think it depends if you're in conversation with your player and how that looks. But, yeah, man, I'm with you. It does not inspire a lot of confidence in me as, like, a fan to watch a bunch of trades.
Especially for a first-year head coach. Like, Ty Lue with the team, it's like,
yeah,
that'd be a lot.
I just don't know how many extra wrinkles we need to throw ourselves.
Yeah, I'm definitely not ready for another big trade. Coming up in Shavings, we're going to be talking possible postponement. There's been a whole bunch of COVID news. But first, Will, I've been driving my car every single day, at least 6 hours a day. I just love cruising. But it's breaking down. How can I fix it?
All right. So the only place to go is Rock Auto. RockAuto.com is great. They're a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years.
Damn.
So make sure to go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, you got your Fiats, your Kias, your Pacificas, your XT5s, your T-Birds.
T-Birds?
It's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. So why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? Is your Odyssey an LX or an EX or a PX or an ED?
I dropped my keys.
And why would you want to wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at your home and in your pocket. And rockauto.com has everything you need, from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's your classic or a daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. As I said, the rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose the brand specifications and prices that you prefer. Speaking of prices,
what?
The prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Right now, go to rockauto.com to see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Okay, welcome to Shavings. Now that we are rockauto.com up, we're talking COVID because it's been doing its thing around the NBA lately.
Oh, yeah.
To the surprise of, I don't think anybody.
No.
And there's been talk of postponement. Do you think the NBA is going to postpone the season for 2 weeks? Games are postponed. What do you think? Like, as a whole, do you think it's going to happen?
Like a full postponement?
Just a shutdown.
Man, I don't know. It does get alarming with the number of teams that are having things happen. And I just feel we knew this coming into the season, but the NBA just does not have a strong enough hold on you know, the containment of players in these scenarios in which there's not, you know, a designated kind of bubble.
And they're not helping themselves.
No.
There was a Andrew Bogut, which, look, I am not a fan of Andrew Bogut. He has some very views that I don't agree with about a lot of stuff, which I'm sure if you know what I'm talking about, you probably agree with me too. But he revealed on his podcast that when NBA players are on the road, the league memo says that they can have two guests in their room who are labeled as friends. There's no testing needed. And now each team apparently enforces this differently. Apparently Phoenix is very strict about this. But that is a bad idea. Just outright, that is a bad idea on the league's part.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a very loose classification, and I don't know, man.
Friends?
It's really difficult to, you know, like I said, that they don't have control of this situation because it is really difficult to control adult human beings.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's definitely not doing them any favors, and the issue is, like, there's still so many opportunities for exposure for a player.
Yeah.
You know, just going to the team bus. If you go out to get something to eat, you know.
You bring back a friend you meet at the Subway sandwich shop you went to.
Of course.
Because everything else is closed.
Yes. My favorite friend that I met on Craigslist.
Yeah, your Instagram friend. Yeah, I mean, Robert Yamagata asked if there's a chance the season gets postponed and just more talk about safety restrictions. I think it's going to be a lot more talk. There's going to be a lot more weird stuff. Like, they've already talked about, like, rescheduling shoot around, which... I don't think the rescheduling. I think the rescheduling stuff is one of the more hollow gestures at trying to combat the spread of COVID.
Oh yeah, totally.
For warm up stuff, it's like, so everyone, okay, you move shoot around up. So you're still doing it, or like, and I'm not saying they shouldn't do shoot around, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see how the NBA finds a way to forge ahead, because. You know, in both other leagues that didn't have a bubble, the NFL and the MLB, they did opt to just forge on through the season.
The NFL playoffs are here.
So the NBA, I would guess, will probably take that cue. Obviously, you know, the whole thing about it even returning at all without a longer break was just revenue. So I would think if that's where their head is at and that's where their intentions are at, they're going to do their best to avoid any sort of shutdown, and I think that's why we haven't gotten the full game schedule yet. They might make the All-Star break an extra week, because it's already a week of dead time, right?
Yeah.
So you implement more stringent testing around All-Star weekend, or, you know, don't do it all together because you can't have fans. But then, you know, you can pretty
friends
easily
only.
Turn that 1 week break into a 2 week break.
Yeah, for sure. So it's like a quasi postponement.
Yeah.
It's like how everyone thought they secretly suspended Michael Jordan that year he played baseball. Do you think there'll be a playoff bubble again? That was also part of Robert Yamagata's question.
I don't think so.
I think the players would do it.
I think you'd have a really hard time getting people to buy in. And then B, like, look, the luck of the Disney World complex kind of fell into our lap.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're going to try to be getting that reopened.
Oh, yeah.
If it's not already, I don't know.
I'm going to check right now, but I was actually just thinking I'd be surprised if it wasn't open.
So it's not only getting the players to buy in, but you have to deal with the logistics of, you know, finding the place that has adequate facilities and is remote enough and you can control it enough for it to be even an actual bubble.
Yeah, it's also definitely open. All four Walt Disney World theme parks are now open per me Googling Disney World open with a question mark.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so that's going to be difficult to do. There's been proposed the idea that they might do expanded rosters, which I think it was Doc Rivers had a great quote where he was like, if there's more players, there's more chances that guys get COVID. Like, how the hell does the expanded
Very good
rosters
call.
Help?
Very good call.
Sometimes cut and dry logic does just work. But Gary Abrimian asks, what players would we want the Clippers to sign? I'm saying just go straight old school. We're signing Jamal Crawford again. Who cares? It's a COVID season. It's going to get shut down anyway at this point. Like, I don't know who else.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Bring all the G League guys up. Milos, what he's doing.
Oh, yeah, if he's stateside.
There's no one who helps us who we sign.
Yeah, no. I hadn't thought about the Crawford thing until you brought it up, but it is literally just someone that could soak up some minutes
yeah.
in a situation where
eight
people are out because of a positive test.
We're starting Jamal Crawford, Reggie Jackson, Luke Kennard, Mook and Zoo. And it's fun for 2 minutes. but I realistically, I have no idea.
Yeah, no clue. I mean, once you get past our G League guys and the guys that we're already trying to develop.
Who aren't good.
Yeah. at that point, it's kind of just a shoulder shrug for me, for any person that ends up getting added to the roster.
It's like an NBA 2K when you're like near the end of the expansion draft and you just sort by overall. You're like, I don't know who these people are. Who's at least a 74 overall? Like, just come join the team. But yeah, there's the meeting. I think they said the meeting was maybe going to happen on Monday, but it's also going to probably there's going to be one on Tuesday because they've already kind of talked about some stuff. So
yeah.
We'll have news for that on Wednesday's episode. Hopefully some good news. We're also going to have a preview of the game that is still scheduled to be.
Correct.
Against the Pelicans. But given COVID, who knows? A What You Say Wednesday poll that will most likely involve something about COVID. And then whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland will. Where can people tell other people it's this podcast?
You could tell other people to listen to this podcast on iTunes or the podcast app.
Oh, yeah.
We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer.
Yep,
you can even tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. It'll definitely do it. I tried it out. It definitely works. if you haven't already, please subscribe. It really helps us out. If you like what we're doing over here, leave a rating and review.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost you anything.
That'd be great. Another person who's not on a team who I just realized we could sign, Kyle Korver. We signed Kyle Korver, Jamal Crawford.
Korver's not on our team?
He's not.
I'd take a flyer on IT.
This would be a fun expansion. All right, we're gonna do Locked On Expansion League on the next episode. Thank y'all so much. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.